Certainly some interesting words to think about, what it'll be like when we first see the Lord, when we first get to heaven, and to have the opportunity to rejoice. I'm sure I've used this in a sermon illustration maybe more than once, but I've often thought in light of a Hebrews 11 that maybe it's going to be like those of you that have maybe been at the finish of a 5K or longer races, for those of you who really enjoy running. And it's very, very common that as those people that are fast finish the race, a lot of times what they do is they don't just go away or do their own thing, but they actually stay near the finish line. And so when all of the slower people, when I would be coming through, they're there to cheer you on. And I wonder if that's what it's like to get to heaven. The saints that have gone before us, that have put faith in Jesus before us, are there cheering on as more and more come. And certainly we look forward to that. I hope you've had a blessed Easter day, a blessed Resurrection Lord's Day. And I've thoroughly enjoyed worshiping with you this morning. And again, all the special music and all of you that work so hard to make it nice. And I appreciate you coming out this evening. I know on a day like Easter, it's easy not to come on out. And our numbers are down a little bit. And that's I don't say that to put anybody down. I just want to say I appreciate you coming out. So I thought I would give you a treat tonight, right? Today I'm full of surprises. I had a couple of people mention it's the first time I think I saw you in a pink tie, and I'm just trying to broaden out, you know, and to be all things to all people. I'm going to actually start with the positive illustration using a cat, you know. Like I said, I'm trying to be all things to all people. I'm trying to grow, okay? And you're thinking there's probably something bad in here. No, he lived. So let me, this cat, this is actually a stock photo, but it's been all over the news today. I believe it was today. It might have been yesterday. The cat that this cat represents is Cupcake. And Cupcake's owners lived in England, and the owners took a large box full of DVDs and they sent it from Cornwall, England, to West Sussex, England, not knowing that their little cat Cupcake was in the box. So they taped up the box, they put it in the mail, and 8 days later, the recipients found the box with Cupcake in it, still alive, but dehydrated. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Greg, this is going to be a hard sermon. I feel like I'm about to cry. Well, you know, we'll just have to wrestle through this together, okay? But here's an illustration of a cat that was accidentally left in a box and no doubt suffered going 8 days without water or whatever the case may be there. Now, why did that cat suffer? Well, someone was careless. It might be even, first of all, maybe someone did it on purpose and the owner was just mean. But let's just set that aside and say that that's not an option. Maybe that cat suffered because the owner made a mistake, right? Is it possible at times that we go through life and we encounter periods of suffering and pain and trials and we think, Lord, what's going on? I mean, did you make a mistake? Did you somehow not notice that I was in the box? And then here I am 8 days later, and finally, you know, I survived, but it sure is hard, and I come out dehydrated. And Lord, what's up? Didn't you know? How could you forget? And of course, some might even go all the way and think, Lord, are you doing this on purpose? Are you doing this just to hurt me? And when we go through challenging times, when we suffer and even face death, these are common thoughts that people have. And so as I was prayerfully planning what to preach on this evening on this Easter Lord's Day, I knew it had to be tied somehow to the resurrection. And we've been working through on our Sunday evenings a number of messages that have to do with trust. Tonight, the title of the message is entitled Trust. We're going to look at the life of Lazarus in John chapter 11. We're going to go through 46 verses. Obviously, we can't go through them very carefully. But I hope that if you're going through a time of trial, if you're going through a difficult time of suffering in your life, If you even struggle with this idea of death, whether in your life or the life of a loved one, that what we see in this message in John chapter 11 will encourage you in your trust of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this wonderful resurrection day, this special day where in even a more special way we can bring attention to the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We pray as we would just do an overview of this wonderful resurrection account of Lazarus, that you would encourage all of us, even as we struggle with suffering and even the idea of death. We pray that you would help us this evening for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to begin this evening by reading the first 37 verses of John chapter 11. I invite you to follow along. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Therefore Thomas, who was called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go so that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he'd already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into this world. When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but he was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? And we'll stop reading there, but we'll continue on as we would work through this passage of Scripture. If I asked you what was Jesus' relationship to Lazarus and to Mary and to Martha, I think all of you would have caught it from the reading, and I think many of you know it just because of your familiarity with the Scriptures. It is absolutely clear in this passage, it is emphasized over and over again that Jesus did what? He loved Lazarus, he loved Mary, he loved Martha. And that's actually going to be our first point tonight. First point is simply this: Jesus allows those he loves to suffer and die. Now let's make sure we get this clear. There is no doubt that Jesus loved Lazarus, Jesus loved Mary, Jesus loved Martha. Notice verse 3. The sister sent word to Jesus saying what? Verse 3, "Lord, behold whom you love is sick." Drop down to verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus." Go down to verse 11. "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep," said Jesus. And it might not be as clear there, but the word "friend" is actually just a noun form of the verb to love, the same verb that was used in verse 3. It's the same verb that's used in verse 36. Go to verse 36 quickly, please. "The Jews were saying, 'See how he loved him.'" So over and over again, we read something very, very clear that Jesus loved Lazarus, Jesus loved Mary, Jesus loved Martha. And it's very easy for us to kind of think, wow, God loves me. And as long as God loves me, everything's going to be fine, it is. And thus, I'll never suffer, or maybe I'll never even die. And certainly that's not the case. That's not the teaching of Scripture. It is very clear that Lazarus died. The one whom Jesus loved in a very special way, he still dies. Notice verse 4, please. Jesus says in verse 4, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified in it." So here's a sickness, and the purpose was not that it ends in death, ultimately, but it still ended in death. Notice, for example, verse 14. Jesus said plainly, "Lazarus is dead." And again, verse 17. When Jesus came, he found that he'd already been in the tomb. How long? 4 days. Why? Lazarus was dead. There are people who teach a false gospel that if your faith is in Jesus Christ, everything in this life works out well, and that you'll never have to face suffering. And that is certainly not what we see in Scripture. We see that people that clearly are loved by Jesus still suffer. They still die. And people who are loved of Jesus experience the death of family members. And it's a very difficult thing. It's a very hard thing. And yet it's reality. We never want to find ourselves thinking, wow, I'm suffering. Does Jesus love you? Love me? Of course he loves you. Maybe even someone in my family has passed away. Does Jesus love us? Of course he loves us. And never fall into the trap of thinking, well, if he loved me, I wouldn't suffer. That's not true at all. You say, but Pastor Greg, doesn't he care about people? Of course he cares about people. That's in this text. Can I show you how much he cares about people? Different places we can go. Drop down to verse 7. Jesus is going, we've been looking at different verses throughout the message in this passage. What does Jesus say when he wants to go and bring Lazarus back from the dead? Verse 7, let us go to Judea again. Verse 8, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again. I mean, they're saying, Jesus, we know you love Lazarus, and we know you cared about his sisters, but you can't go back there. They're going to kill you. And basically, Jesus says, you know what? We're going back anyway. And the disciples fully thought something bad would happen. Can I show you that? Look at verse 16. Thomas, who was called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with them. Thomas is thinking, this is crazy. But if Jesus wants to go back to Judea, back to Jerusalem, where all the people who hate him are, to try to minister to this family, I guess we'll all die together. That's how dangerous it was for Jesus to go back, but back he went. You say, why? Because Jesus cares about people. He loves people. No doubt that compassion is seen way back at the end of the account. Look at verse 33. Jesus therefore saw Mary weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping. It says Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. These are very strong words of great emotion. It says in verse 35, Jesus wept. And then again in verse 38, Jesus again being deeply moved within. Does Jesus care? Of course he cares. Should I ever think, well, if I'm facing suffering and even death, that Jesus doesn't love me? No, you should never think that. You say, but Brother Greg, it's hard. It's very hard. And even though we know Jesus loves us, I think many times we often struggle. And those in this account struggled. And that takes us to our second point this evening. Number one, Jesus allows those he loves to suffer and die. Number two, we often struggle to trust Jesus in times of suffering and in times of death. And this is not uncommon at all. You say, what do? We often question what Jesus does. Notice verse 6. It says, when he, Jesus, had heard that he, Lazarus, the one he loved, was sick, he, Jesus, stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. I mean, to us, that's not what friends do. I mean, if I'm facing a hard time and I'm going through a great challenge, and I call or text one of you that I'm close with, hey, I'm in trouble, I need help. You know, whatever, even my roof is leaking or my car's on the side of the road. And you texted me back, yeah, I think I'll be there, Greg, give me 2 days. I'm thinking, whoa, I thought we were friends. And no way can we compare this to a leaking roof or a car that's broken down. This is somebody who's facing death. And Jesus delayed for 2 days. And we question, Jesus, what are you doing? And we begin to think of all of the things that Jesus could have done but didn't do. Notice verse 21, please. Verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And that certainly could have been true. And Martha knew that. And she knew Jesus delayed 2 days. And she knew Jesus could have kept Lazarus from dying. And you say, well, that's just Martha. I think it's normal. I think it's Mary. Notice verse 32, please. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him the same thing her sister said. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. See, we question what Jesus does. We realize what Jesus could have done. And these are the good people, if you will. This is Mary and Martha. Unbelievers sometimes will do what we see recorded in verse 37, right? Some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? Right, if you remember as you read through the gospel according to John chapter 9, the man who was born blind, if Jesus could have helped him, how come he couldn't help this guy? And you say, what's your point? that number one, we often struggle to trust Jesus. We often struggle to trust Jesus in times of suffering and death. And yet, what does Jesus do? It's our third point this evening. Jesus calls us to trust Him, even in times of suffering, even in times of death. Jesus calls us to trust Him. You say, Greg, how do I do that? You have to realize there's a purpose. See, you're never a cat in a box that the owner forgot about. We can do that. God doesn't do that. There is always, always a purpose to the suffering we encounter. Notice again, please, verse 4. It says, when Jesus heard this, that the one he loved, Lazarus, was sick, verse 4, Jesus said, this sickness is not to end in death. Now pause. And you may be reading your Bible thinking, wrong, because he died. Okay. The word end there is a word of purpose. Jesus is not saying Lazarus isn't going to die. Lazarus died. But this sickness is not for the purpose of death. There is a higher purpose. That's verse 4. And what is the purpose? Jesus continues. It's for the glory of God. So that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now we know this story. And we know how God is glorified. I don't know your story. But there's one thing I know. That God will be glorified in your suffering. No matter how painful, no matter how challenging, it is not bad luck. You're not the cat in the box. But you are someone God loves very, very much. And if you said to me, Greg, okay, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you the suffering I faced. How is this going to work out for good? In all honesty, there are times where I say, I don't know, but it will. And I promise you that it will. Based on the promises of Scripture, it will. There is always a purpose. There is always a plan. Now again, we know the plan here. Look at verse 11. Jesus said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of his sleep. Now, the disciples didn't know that was the plan. Lazarus, as he was dying, didn't know that's the plan. No doubt, Lazarus was thinking, where's Jesus? And Mary and Martha are saying, we sent for him. He loves us. I'm thinking he's going to show. And then Lazarus passes, and Jesus has not yet come. But that doesn't mean there wasn't a purpose. That doesn't mean there wasn't a plan. There was a plan. And that plan is always good. Notice verse 14 and verse 15. Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead and I am glad. Wow. You say, why would Jesus be glad when they're suffering? Because the suffering always, always has a purpose. And Jesus always has a plan. And the plan is always for your good. Jesus is not saying, I'm glad you're suffering. Jesus is saying, you're suffering, and I'm glad that really good stuff is going to come from this. That's what the text here says. And so notice, please, verse 15 says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? Not so that you may suffer, so that you may believe. There is always good that Christ is doing. You say, well, what did they want them to believe? What did Jesus want them to believe? Well, many commentators would say verse 25 and verse 26 are the heart of this entire account. You know what Jesus wants us all to believe? That believers who die will live. And I think that's a good summary of verse 25. Will you notice that? Verse 25. Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. You say, what does that mean? On the simplest level, believers who die will live. You say, Brother Greg, I know of Christians who have died. In a sense, they didn't die. They are alive today just as much as they were when they walked in this world. And that's true for all believers in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is saying to encourage Martha. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And then notice verse 26. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. If verse 25 is summarized, believers who die will live, I think we could summarize verse 26 this way. Believers who live will never die. And so even one day, unless the Lord would come back before then, I will what? Pass away, as we say. And what will happen? I will be just as alive as I am today. Why? Because believers who live will never die. Never die. I realize it's a time of sadness for those who are left behind. But Jesus calls us to trust Him. To trust Him in these times of suffering and death. It's not by accident. It's always by plan. It's not that He got distracted again. It's not that the person who passed away somehow is the cat in the box. But the Lord always has a plan. He always has a purpose. And for believers in Jesus Christ, we will never die. I can't begin to count. I would need many hands of how many times I've interacted, as you have too, with people that have found out the sad news that a loved one has passed away. And when that person's a believer, how many times do we gently, very, very gently, weeping with those who weep, compassionately, kindly, after listening and listening and listening, we gently remind people that your loved one that you think you've lost, you haven't lost, because they're not really dead. They are alive. And they are with Christ. And we share your loss and your hurt. And we don't want to minimize that at all. And it could be very unfeeling just to sometimes speak too quickly. And yet the reality is still true of what Jesus said here, that everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. I think that's a truth that we need to review again and again and again. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, what? Shall not perish, but have eternal life. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will never perish. And you do have eternal life. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in me, who believes in him who sent me, has eternal life and does not come into judgment. Wow. But has passed out of death into life. You've heard me say this before. One of the dominating thoughts in my small brain is that God's not mad at me anymore. I will never be judged for my sin. And I think of all of the sin, not only the sin I've committed before I became a Christian, but the sins that I have committed after I've become a Christian. and the sins I continue to struggle with now, even as you do, even if they're the so-called, quote-unquote, respectable sins, as Jerry Bridges calls them, that I will never be judged, never, for my sin. Because Jesus has paid the price of my sin. And I have eternal life, which means I have no reason to fear death. Because the moment I leave this world, absent from the body, present with the Lord, John 10:27-28, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me, and here it is again, and I give eternal life to them. And they will what? Never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. What is the Lord reminding us? That Jesus calls us to trust him in times of suffering and death. I think that's why sleep is such a wonderful picture of death. Do you see that in verse 11? Jesus says our friend Lazarus is what? He's fallen asleep. Fallen asleep. What is death? For the believer. Now, don't take this the wrong way. It's not soul sleep. A person is still alive. You say, but then what's his body doing? It's sleeping. See, there is a literal bodily resurrection. You know what it's like. Is your home like my home? You know, we wake people up in our home. And no one in our home wakes up readily, okay? No one, except one person. I'm not going to tell you who that is, because I'd be bragging, okay? But other people in our home who will remain nameless, I will try to wake them up. And they do acknowledge my presence. They grunt, they groan, they say, okay, and sometimes leave me alone, okay? But there comes a time where they wake up. And that's the illustration that the Scripture uses of death. Somebody who's sleeping, alive, but that body is sleeping. You say, what's the point? That Jesus allows those he loves to suffer and die. Secondly, we often struggle to trust Jesus in times of suffering and death. And let me quickly say, if you are struggling with that, you're in good company. That makes you normal. Because we all struggle with that. Yet Jesus calls us to trust him in times of suffering and in times of death. But he does more than call us to trust him. He shows us that we can trust him. And that's our fourth and final point this evening. Jesus raised Lazarus to help us trust him. You say, what do we see in the resurrection of Lazarus? We see Jesus revealing his identity. If you remember when we started the service this evening, we read, I think, through what? Through verse 37. Let's pick up our reading now, please, in verse 38. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now, it was a cave and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, listen, verse 41, Jesus praying out loud, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. See, Jesus had a purpose. Jesus had a plan. There's always a purpose. Jesus wants to bring people to faith in himself. From studying John, many of you will know this, when Jesus said back in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. This is the fifth of Jesus' great I am statements recorded in John. You say, what's at the heart of this passage? The heart of this passage is Jesus revealing who he is. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. That is who I am. And the miracle that Jesus is about to perform is to show people his identity. But Jesus not only reveals his identity as he raises Lazarus from the dead, but Jesus reveals his ability. Notice verse 43. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice in our English text, three simple words, Lazarus, come forth! Many, many commentators have mentioned it was sure good that he mentioned Lazarus, because if he had simply said, come forth, every single tomb would have had somebody coming forth. So powerful are the words of Jesus Christ. And notice what happened in verse 44. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings. You say, wait. How does he come out of the tomb and he's still bound hand and foot with wrappings? Well, all I know is he didn't walk. He didn't skip. I mean, how do you come out of the tomb? Maybe hopping, you know? Maybe his feet were off the ground and it was just a miraculous, just woo, there he is. And here is Lazarus still bound in his grave clothes. And what happens? It says in verse 44, the man who had died came forth bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with the cloth. Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. And what happens? We see that Jesus brings Lazarus to life, revealing his identity. He is God, revealing his ability. He can raise the dead. And you put that all together, guys, and what have we seen on this Resurrection Lord's Day? We have seen that we can trust Jesus. We can trust him. You see, we have to make sure we get this clear. Jesus loves us. He has proven that he loves us. You don't send your son to die on a cross for people you don't love. So number one, Jesus loves us. And secondly, Jesus allows those he loves to suffer and die. And some of you would say, Pastor Greg, I'm going through a time of suffering. Jesus loves you. And at times, he allows us to go through times of suffering and even times of death. He did that with Lazarus, with Mary, with Martha. He does that with people he loves. You say, so how do I get through this? Always, always remember that Jesus has a plan. Jesus always has a plan. You know, people sometimes say, if I just knew there was a purpose, somehow by God's grace I'd get through this. There is a purpose. And even if we don't know it, it doesn't deny the reality that there's always a purpose for the suffering that Jesus allows us to encounter. There is always a plan, always a purpose. And thus we can be confident, number four, that the Jesus who raised Lazarus will one day raise us to eternal life. And this is what gives us the hope that brings us through times of suffering and even death. So I close this evening with a very simple reminder. I don't want to belittle anybody's suffering. You are not a cat forgotten in a box. Going through suffering and like, whoa, where's my owner? They didn't know I was here. 8 days. I mean, come on. You say, Greg, at times I feel like that. I understand. And I think those are the kind of feelings that Mary and Martha had. And those are normal feelings. But the reality is, you can trust Jesus. You say, Pastor Greg, I don't want to leave thinking of this stupid box and this cat inside. Give me something good to think of. Yeah, I will. There you go. You say, I don't even believe you're going to end with the motorcycle. Hey, listen, I showed you a picture of a cat, all right? So I think if I've showed you a picture of a cat, I've earned the right to use an illustration that I actually believe in, okay? I think the cat pictured what I wanted to communicate. But as I was looking at the news and saw the picture of the cat, I came across this gentleman. This gentleman's name is Brandon Jenkins. And I came across a YouTube video that was really fascinating to me. Brandon Jenkins is a U.S. retired or former military man who went on tour in Afghanistan. He returned to Arizona, took the deployment money, I guess some type of special pay perhaps or what have you that you get for representing our country as you deserve. And he bought himself a motorcycle. And he enjoyed his motorcycle very much. He rode his motorcycle often. One day he was coming home from work in Arizona on this motorcycle. And a man behind him was in a stolen truck. And the police were after him. The man behind him jumped out of his stolen truck, went up to Brandon, who's on the motorcycle in his helmet, yanked him off the motorcycle, and tried to steal his motorcycle. Now, Brandon, former military, fought back. So here's a guy trying to steal his motorcycle. Brandon's not going to let it go. He's fighting for it. The guy realizes he's not going to let his motorcycle go, so the bad guy goes back into his truck, runs over Brandon's motorcycle, and speeds away. So here's where I'm going with this illustration. Here's a man, serves our country in the military, takes the money, does something noble with it, buys a motorcycle, okay? Come on, you got the cat, so give me some grace here, okay? Buys a motorcycle, is working, minding his own business, a good citizen, and then somebody not only tries to steal his motorcycle, they run over it. That's wrong. See, there's something about this picture that hits me in a way the first one doesn't. That's wrong. That's not supposed to happen. Well, you know what the end of the story is, and here's how it came across my attention. A Kawasaki dealer there in Arizona was moved by this. And that dealer, just this weekend, contacted Brandon and said, Brandon, come by this week because you have a brand new motorcycle. And anyone who went through what you went through, who has served our country faithfully, deserves a new Kawasaki. Come and get it. Now that thrilled my soul. And I thought, amen, that's a blessing. Now, I want to caution us seriously. This is one reason why I almost didn't use this illustration. You know of people who suffer in this life, and in this life, they never get the motorcycle. And that's true. And sometimes this side of eternity, we never fully understand why we suffered. And we're never able to get to that last chapter. But one day we will. There's no guarantee it will all work out in this life. If I can go back to the first story, the cat lived. I got it. Sometimes in this life it doesn't work out that way. But there is coming a day when we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be in our resurrected bodies. And we will be rejoicing in the presence of our Savior. And everything will make sense. And everything will be wonderful, and everything will be clear, and you will be worshiping Christ forever. And that's the assurance you have because Jesus rose from the dead. And I hope that the Lord will use that to encourage you this Resurrection Lord's Day. Let's pray.